We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast. It is Friday, and we have made it through another week. Everybody take a deep breath. Exhale. Hallelujah. You get to fellowship with some saints in just a day or so, depending upon where you are. Some people go to Saturday night service, and some people go to Sunday service. And so I pray that you are looking forward to being able to say with the person in the scripture, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord." So thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio broadcast. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and we bring this radio program to you Monday through Friday, 8:30 of a morning and 5 o'clock of an evening on WMIE 91.5 FM, 10:30 of a morning on WWBC 1510 AM. And so thank you for taking time to make us part of your day. We do want to say thank you today to Bill Andrike at Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. If you need some work on your air conditioning unit, whether it's your compressor, your evaporator, your air handler, your condensing unit, whatever it might be, a lot of times capacitors will go out. Sometimes what you think is a major problem is not really a major problem. And so don't panic if your AC has gone out. Why don't you call the folks at Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284. Let them come out and take a look and tell you whether or not it is a major problem. They will treat you honestly and fairly, and they will even spend some time talking to you about the Lord if you will let them. So 321-759-3284. So if you are available, we would love to have you come and worship with us this coming weekend. We are going to be baptizing several people after the morning service on July the 30th. 10:30 in the morning, we're going to have our worship service. Then we're going to have a baptismal. Then we're going to have a picnic, a church picnic, a fellowship dinner. And we are we were told about a year or so ago, you know, we have nicknamed you the food church because we like, you know, we like one another. And so we would encourage you to come out and be a part of that. If you don't have any food to bring, it's okay. We generally have plenty of food that is brought. So that will be July the 30th, and then we do not have service on Sunday night. Now you are up to speed on everything that is going on at Merritt Assembly of God this weekend. We want to go back to Luke chapter 10 today, Luke chapter 10, and we're going to talk about what Jesus' instructions that lead up to the fruit of the Spirit that we're talking about. If we abide in the Holy Spirit, we are going to be fruitful. And the disciples begin to rejoice here in this chapter. And so we are setting the stage as to why they were rejoicing. Jesus was sending out 70. He was sending them out in pairs, and he was sending them to places that he was about to go. He was sending them out there so that they could pronounce a blessing of peace. And as people received that blessing of peace, then they would dwell in that house. They would abide in that house. They weren't flippant. They weren't going back and forth. They found a place, and they were planted. They were stable, and they were fruitful. And he said, when you go there, build relationship with those people, fellowship with them, and eat with them. Let me read Luke chapter 10 so I'm not just explaining it to you. You actually have the word to go to. Then he said to them, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Luke 10:3. "Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house, and if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you, and remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. And that's where we're going to end the reading today. So the disciples are instructed to go out, pronounce a blessing, and then they are to build relationship with the people that they are in contact with. They are supposed to break bread with them. They are supposed to eat whatever is set before them. You know, I was trained as a teenager when I was getting ready to go on my first missions trip. I was instructed to do two things. One, I was instructed to have my testimony ready of something that God had done. There were actually three things. I was also taught in how to lead someone to a relationship with Jesus Christ through five simple Bible verses. Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, John 3:16, 1 John 1:9, and Revelation 3:20. Those were the five Bible verses. Still to this day, I remember them and can quote them. And the other thing that we were trained, because we were going to a different culture, was whatever they set before you, don't go, eek, don't panic, don't freak out, but whatever they set before you, eat it, because you're there to build fellowship with these people that God has sent you to. And so that's what the disciples were encouraged to do. That was to have fellowship with unbelievers, people that Jesus wanted the gospel to come to. That is what this was. So let me ask you this question first of all today, and that is, how long has it been since you shared a Coke or a soft drink with a meal with someone that you know that is not a believer? I will give you just a few seconds to think about that, because for some it may be quite a long time. You may have to be opening a lot of archived files. One thing is for sure, if all we do is hang around with other believers, we are never going to reach the lost, because we are in an echo chamber of the gospel. And so I want you to know, Jesus wanted people to go out there and have fellowship. He was called a friend of publicans and sinners. It was very disturbing to the religious establishment of his day that he had people who did not fit their level of sanctification, if you will, that Jesus was very comfortable around them, because he was reaching them. Now, if you're one of those people, if you're listening and your heart is not right with Jesus today, I want you to stay tuned, because I've got a word for you. He didn't condemn people because of who they were, but he did tell them that they were forgiven when they repented, and then to go and sin no more. He met people, he fellowshiped with other people who needed God in their life, so that when they walked away from that encounter, they did not walk away a slave to sin. They walked away having been set free from their captivity. So I want to encourage you, be the friendliest person around. Be a person who is able to reach out to other people, and you're not afraid to talk to the other people. You know, in school, there were cliques, and, you know, everybody wanted to be at the cool table. Well, I want you to know something. I'm looking to create a new cool table. I'm looking to create a table where it's cool to be leading people to Jesus Christ. That's what we're after. And so we're striving to lead people to Jesus at Merit Assembly of God. In verse number 9, it says, after you have Bless them after you have fellowshipped them with them. Heal the sick. Heal the sick that are there. Meet the felt needs that they have. Some of your neighbors may not have monumental needs. They may just need somebody who can get their mail out of the mailbox. Some of them may just need some help carrying their groceries in to the house from the car. Surely there's something that we can do. Now, here it talks about healing the sick. I want you to know I believe in healing the sick. Have I seen every person that I've prayed for healed? Absolutely not. But would I like to? Yes. It's not my job to manifest the healing. My job is to pray the prayer of faith. James chapter 5 says it is the Lord who will raise them up. And so I want to encourage you to be bold when it comes to asking God to meet people's needs in their lives. Okay, if people have a problem, God has a solution. It's as simple as that. God has a solution. So he says, meet the felt needs and then share with them the kingdom of God has come near to you. I think we would be amazed if we realized how open people are to the gospel if the miraculous is taking place in their midst. I really do. I think that if we would take the time to implement Luke chapter 10, then we might see some of the same results that the disciples came. So those four things, where they blessed people, they demonstrated faithfulness while they were blessing those people. They fellowshipped with other believer or with the people that they were ministering to. They met the felt needs that they had, and then they shared the gospel with them. Don't stop at just meeting the need. Share the gospel. Share the gospel. And so that's what they went out and did. That's what Jesus commissioned them to do. And so they went out and they did it. And in verse number 17, they return. Now we're going to talk about three different aspects of joy from Luke chapter 10 here. Verse number 17 is the disciples' initial reaction. Verse number 17, it said, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So the 70, let me go on one more verse. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. So, different aspects of rejoicing. First of all, the disciples came back and they were rejoicing. They were ecstatic because what Jesus sent them out to do, they accomplished. There is a great amount of joy that comes from returning from spiritual victory. A great amount of joy. It's an exhilarating feeling. The disciples came back and said, even the demons are subject to us in your name. So there is not a power in hell that can withstand the faithful obedience of God's people when they are operating under divine command. I remember hearing a testimony years and years and years ago of a man down in Cali, Colombia, I believe it was. And he began to see great revival, and it was affecting negatively the drug trafficking business there. And so they began to threaten this man, and he said, quite frankly, he said, as long as I am being faithful and obedient to what God has called me to do, and he still has purpose for me, I am invincible. And there were several failed attempts on his life. And then there came a day where the drug cartels lashed out and they assassinated this man. And you say, that's horrible. Well, it is horrible. We don't like to see that. What happened, though, was that man had touched so many lives that a massive citywide revival broke out where there were thousands of people filling up stadiums for all-night prayer meetings. And so what they intended for evil, God transformed it into something that was exponentially powerful, and a mighty revival broke out. I want you to know today that the same God who brought revival in Jesus' ministry and brought revival in the book of Acts, he is the same today. And if we will go out in the authority that he has given us to do the command that he has issued to us, we will see spiritual victory. And it's okay to rejoice, but there's a better reason. There's a better reason. We celebrate whenever someone gives their heart to Jesus. We believe in celebrating that. We celebrate when people follow the Lord in water baptism. We celebrate when people grow in their faith and lead others to Jesus or baptized in the Holy Spirit. We celebrate spiritual victories. But Jesus said, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Now, I want to say two things about this. First of all, we rejoice because our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We rejoice because we are saved. We also rejoice because God pays attention to everything that a child of God does and stores up a reward for them. You are written in his book. Your faithful and obedient service to him will not go unnoticed and will not go unrewarded. Celebrate the fact that God has you right where he wants you. That's the great thing. We have an eternity that we're going to spend with him, and it is going to be a glorious eternity. Don't miss it for the world. Rejoice in that. Don't just rejoice whenever you have a victory. Rejoice that it's going to be an eternal triumphal procession because of what Jesus has done for this. And then after Jesus corrects them there, that's the second incident. He says, I want you to know that there's a better reason to rejoice. And that is that what you do here on earth is noticed in heaven. Your names are written down. Why do you write things down? You write them down so they will be memorialized, so that they will be remembered. And that's a book whose pages are never going to wear out. That is going to be something that is recorded forever in heaven. And so I encourage you today, be faithful to obey God's commands. Now, verse number 21, it's where we're going to take rejoicing to a whole new level here, okay? The disciples came back and they were rejoicing because of the victories. Verse number 21 says, "In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit." He rejoiced in the Spirit. It's one thing for joy to touch your emotions. It's one thing for joy to touch your mind. It's one thing for joy to manifest in a physical way in your body. But it is an entirely different level, an entirely different dimension when we allow the joy of the Lord to impact our spirit. And that's a great challenge for us all. The kingdom of God is righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Spirit. Okay, there should be a joy that is in your spirit. And so I had this dream, not a dream, wrong word. I had this mental picture of the wells of salvation. And that whenever I needed a drink because of having been in a difficult circumstance or anything like that, I could go over to that well and I could take a drink of that salvation, and it would impact my spirit, and my spirit would then affect my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions, my body. And every time there was something that came up, I would just return back. I saw myself going back over and over and over again to the well of salvation, and it was a well that never ran dry. It was a well that the water table never dropped an inch. There was always a sufficient supply today. And so I pray that you would allow the joy to come into your spirit. Now, I told you that Jesus rejoiced in the spirit, but I want to ask you, do you know why? Now, I believe that Jesus celebrates his saints. I believe he celebrates his work, and we are his workmanship, that he's working on you and he's working on me. I believe he rejoices whenever there is a breakthrough in our development. But verse number 21 continues as to why he was rejoicing. And it said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. What Jesus was doing was he was rejoicing because the disciples that he had trained were receiving divine revelation from the Father. Things that the wise and the prudent could not see, they were having revealed to them. Things that others longed to experience for decades and decades and centuries upon centuries, and they had only caught a glimpse of, all of a sudden, now the disciples were seeing breakthrough and victory. Don't you know that that had to be a frustrating day for the devil when the demons started coming back? And he said, what are you doing here? I had you strategically placed in people's lives. They had opened the door to you so that you could bring devastation and chaos into their life and make their life miserable and ruin it. What are you doing here? Is it Jesus? Did Jesus come to where you were? And the demons would just have to shake their head and say, well, yes and no. Well, what do you mean, yes and no? Well, it wasn't Jesus. It was his disciples who were there under his command, and they were walking in his name, and they were operating in the authority that he had given to them. And we were powerless to resist. They had submitted themselves to God. They resisted us, and we had to flee. So we are back here because the saints of God were marching in the victory of revelation that God had given to them. Fishermen were the last people on earth we were expecting to see walk in spiritual authority, but they did. Now, what I just described to you is a part of my vivid imagination. It doesn't say that conversation took place, but can you imagine that the devil had operated all of these millennia with pretty much unchecked authority? Occasionally, there would be a prophet that would rise up, but you know, if he wanted to bring havoc and devastation, he pretty much did. And then Jesus showed up on the scene, and all of a sudden there started to be these tremors in the kingdom of darkness. And now he's coming to the realization that Jesus did not intend to consolidate that power in himself, but it imparted to the believers that are following him. And now there is exponential increase. You see, they didn't just go to a village. I want to take you back to what it's to verse number 1 of chapter 10. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. So as they went out on this preparatory mission, they didn't just go to one city. It wasn't an isolated incident. It wasn't just limited to a select duo of disciples. they, the 70, everyone that was sent out returned the same way with joy. And Jesus was rejoicing in the Spirit because the disciples' eyes were opened. They were seeing what the Father wanted them to see. It was spiritual breakthrough, and Jesus responded with spiritual joy. I wonder, what is it that the Father would be thrilled to reveal to us? And as we walk in that revelation, that we would begin to rejoice, and that Jesus would say, Father, if it's okay, I just need to take a moment and rejoice in what is taking place in the lives of believers in Brevard County. God, there are people who are having their spiritual eyes opened to spiritual truths. You are taking them from strength to strength. You are taking them from faith to faith. You are taking them from glory to glory, and they are walking under divine authority, and the kingdom of hell is being plundered, and the kingdom of heaven is being populated, and I just want to rejoice right now with what you have revealed. I know that it's going to take all of eternity for God to reveal the magnificence of his glory to us. I just want to get a head start on the revelation. You know, I had a conversation with someone one time. They said, I used to think that a society, if they were 100 years ahead of someone technologically, that they would be at strategic advantage and the others would be powerless. He said, but I'm now of the mindset that it may not be need to be centuries. It may just need to be a decade ahead, or it may just need to be years. If you were in class and you were constantly just one step ahead of the rest of the class, you're going to be the A student in the class. I pray today that the joy of the Lord will be ours, because we are walking out and we are blessing people. We are fellowshipping with people. We are meeting felt needs, and we are proclaiming the kingdom of God, and we will see spiritual powers broken, and we will give Jesus cause to rejoice. I pray that you have a great weekend. If we don't see you this weekend, we will see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
To be mad for my King, nothing, Lord, is hindering the passion in my soul.